We often look to bestseller lists for advice about which books to buy. If they're on the bestseller list, they must be the best, right? Well, like most things, it's a little bit more complicated than that. I'm Lisa Morgan, and today on The Weekly Reader, our book critic Marianne Winnick is here with a look behind the scenes at a few of those lists. Hi, Marianne.
Hi, Lisa. You'd think that making it to the bestseller list would mean a book is really great. While that is sometimes true, it's certainly not the most important factor. The real key is how many books are printed. If there aren't enough copies out there to compete with the sales of the latest John Grisham or Mary Higgins Clark, it takes a huge popular response and a very quick publisher reaction to make it happen. Another factor is how the sales are counted. Which stores do they survey? What other measures are used? While the New York Times is considered the industry standard, I'd recommend the LA Times list for people who care as much about good writing as plot. A couple of weeks ago, among the usual titles on the New York Times list, there were two books we've discussed on The Weekly Reader, and they illustrate the point that what gets an author to the bestseller list is having already made it to the bestseller list. Celeste Ng's Little Fires Everywhere and Isabel Allende's In the Midst of Winter both come from writers who have proven their sales power, though it's worth noting that Ng's previous hit was her debut. Everything I Never Told You became a bestseller by surprise, blown up by word of mouth. She earned her place among the cash cows. Another title in the Times Top 15 is Uncommon Type, a collection of short stories by a guy named Tom Hanks, who may not have made this list before, but is a household word for other reasons. The good news is that these whimsical small-town America stories aren't bad at all. Jennifer Egan's Manhattan Beach has not cracked the Times list yet, though it's been leading in L.A. since it came out. After her Pulitzer Prize-winning bestseller, A Visit from the Goon Squad, the danger for Egan is that this book will not sell quite as many copies as the publisher thought it would and will thus be considered a disappointment. Well, I'll tell you, Manhattan Beach is no disappointment. Set during World War II in the Brooklyn Navy Yard, it features a fantastic female heroine, Anna Carrigan. Bored to tears with her job measuring tiny mechanical parts in a room full of women with soldier husbands, this brave, tough, single girl manages to get herself a position training as a scuba diver. Complete with gangsters, nightclubs, and sweetheart necklines, the period feel of this book goes right down to the sentences. A book I think is every bit as good as Manhattan Beach is Improvement by Joan Silber. It would take a miracle to get this book in the Golden 15. This is Silber's eighth book, and despite having been a finalist for the National Book Award for a previous novel, she's not well known, and she's published by a small independent press. It's a novel in stories with a young tattooed single mother at its center. Raina is juggling a four-year-old son, a boyfriend in jail, and a risky business venture. Tracing the lines that connect her to characters on a farm in Turkey, at a nightclub in Richmond, Virginia, and in the cab of a semi on the interstate, this book is funny, sad, and filled with unexpected pragmatic wisdom. If you like to root for the underdog, get a copy of Improvement and join the fan club.
The books not yet on the bestseller list are Jennifer Egan's Manhattan Beach and Improvement by Joan Silber. You can find more information about these titles, links to reviews, and our podcast at wypr.org/programs/weekly-reader. The Weekly Reader podcast is made possible by the Ivy Bookshop. For The Weekly Reader, I'm Lisa Morgan.
And I'm Marianne Winnick.